You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time.
So the Texans play at noon on Sunday. The usual time, of course, when they're not in prime time, but that's not really why I bring it up. It's not a bad window of games beyond the Texans versus Cardinals, which will be on Fox. You've got maybe the end of the Chiefs' hopes of winning or at least earning a playoff spot this year. They go at noon. You have Patriots and Buffalo. The Patriots can win that division. So that's another game people are going to be focused on. But I'm just glad the Texans play in that first window so I can have the second window just to watch what Phillip Rivers looks like in the uniform. I don't even care how he plays. I just want all the side-by-sides of what he looked like the last time he was in a Colts uniform and what he looks like now in a Colts uniform. Look, they just pulled him off the street, so he's not going to be in football shape, but he's likely going to be their starting quarterback on Sunday. What is that going to look like? He's going to look like one of those quarterbacks from the 70s out there. Like, the uniforms now are more form-fitting. But he always had loose sleeves. But he's going to look like a quarterback who just was smoking on the bench before the Dolphins got back on the field. That's what I imagine. Like,
Daryl, it's going to look like someone's uncle during the, like, playing all-time quarterback during the Turkey Bowl.
But with NFL-caliber uniform on.
Yes, with an NFL uniform.
Yeah, I just imagine it'll be ill-fitting.
It'll look like they pick someone out of the stand and then put them in a uniform.
Who happens to be a giant individual because Phillip Rivers is, what, 6'4", 6'5". But, I know what you're saying. I'm just trying to pull up some of these guys. I'm looking at, like, 70s quarterbacks right now.
Will he look like Jake the Snake? Or not Jake the Snake. What's his name? Kenny Stabler?
I think there's something there, like a Daryl LaMonica type or something. I just know it'll be a shock to everyone's system that, look, quarterbacks, for the most part, pretty in shape. Like, even different body types, no matter what you think, even guys who are shorter, squatty bodies, none of those guys, you look at them and go, oh, what did he do this offseason? That's not really the part of the quarterback's bag anymore.
That guy looks like he coached high school football for the last 6 months and
decided
to play in
a football. People are focusing on the fact that he was running the Colts system when he was in high school. No, the only point to be made is he was coaching high school football, and now he's going to play in the NFL against the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah. I got to see what he looks like in uniform. Hold on. Let's look at.
He has two of the best defenses in the NFL. Probably the two best defenses in the NFL on the remaining schedule for the Colts. You got the Seahawks, and then they end the season against the Texans.
Is it a CBS doubleheader this week? The Texans are on Fox, but is it? I just want to know: are we getting Philly versus the Seahawks in our market?
We'll get Colts Seahawks, or it's Colts Seahawks and Packers Broncos are the two CBS afternoon spots.
We might get Packers Broncos. That would be considered the right. Is that the Nance and
that? If, I would assume that that would be the one that they send Nance and Romo to.
Come on,
unless there's a 1 a.m. game that they send them to.
Give us Philly and Seattle.
Maybe they do Chiefs Chargers at or no? They'll actually they'll
that's
do,
at noon.
They'll do Pats Bills. They'll probably do. They'll be at.
Oh
Pats
yeah,
Bills.
Yeah. Nance and Romo will be at Pats Bills. I don't care who's calling the game, whether it's Harlan or Ian Eagle. I want to watch. I want to watch 60 minutes of Philly.
I want Ian Eagle
in Seattle.
I want Ian Eagle and JJ Watt.
They will. You think they'll be funnier?
Yes, I think JJ Watt will approach this with
the right amount of humor.
Yeah, the right amount of like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, people are asking about me coming out of retirement,
dude.
I'm svelte and in good shape, yeah. But I'm not in football shape because he's not 290 pounds anymore.
Yeah, he's an edge rusher now.
Who weighs more now, JJ or Phillip Rivers? That's what JJ needs to lean into.
I think JJ, just by like, I don't know, muscle weighs more than fat, is what I'll say.
But how much fat is on Phillip Rivers? You are right. That is scientifically true. But you get to a point where muscle's not going to be able to
compete. Yeah, no, where there's so much. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I can't. It shattered my worldview to even contemplate the world where Phil Rivers weighs more than J.J. Watt.
It's a real possibility.
Because either that means J.J. got really skinny, which he got skinny. He got skinnier, for sure. But he's not like small, you know? It's not like when Jeff Saturday first rolled out of bed after being a NFL center and was immediately like 200 pounds.
We were wrong. J.J. and Ian Eagle are in New England.
Oh.
Romo and Nance, Packers, Broncos.
Wow.
And Seattle hosting the Colts.
Harlan?
No, Andrew Catalan.
They made that decision before they knew.
Yeah, way before.
Phil Rivers.
Rivers only got signed this week. How would they know? I mean, they could make a switch, but they didn't know.
No, and let's be honest, it's not that big of a deal to make the switch.
But Kevin Harlan's in Kansas City for Chargers Chiefs.
Okay.
And of course, as we told you yesterday, we get Chris Myers. It's a come down, but sure.
It is a come down.
But it's on Fox, so you take what you can get. Let's hear from a guy who actually will be playing in that game.
Yeah, he doesn't have to listen to Chris Myers.
Lucky, no. Chris Myers is fine, actually. Kamari Lassiter, actually, we'll hear about him. He isn't the guy talking. Let's hear from Matt Burke. He is his DC. And the Texans got a bunch of tough dudes. Kamari Lassiter's been dealing with an injury, but of course he played on Sunday. Had a pick, had a nice breakup of what was a touchdown until he knocked out of Tyquan Thornton's hands. Here's Kamari Lassiter's DC on the toughness of the corner.
Been great for us all year. I thought, obviously, like working through missing some practice time last week and then showing up on Sunday was awesome. And just, man, I mean... I don't even know how many superlatives I can say about him at this point. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd argue he's the best tackling corner in the league, and he's the toughest corner in the league. And then, you know, he's making plays on the balls downfield. I mean, I don't know what else you want. I mean, he's everything that I think this program believes in as a football player and represents what we're about. And so really excited and proud for him and happy. And honestly, like if we didn't have Sting, we'd probably be talking about him as a different type of corner, you know what I mean? But the fact that we got, you know, another great one on the opposite side of him, it maybe changes the perception of him. But I think he's an elite corner at this level, and I think he's arguably top in the league at some of the skill sets that he performs with. So really excited to have him.
While he was talking, I was thinking about Derek Stingley, and then he mentioned him. Like, so Stingley was drafted in 2022, and the book on him was injured, and then he sat out the year. His final year in college, he didn't play. I don't know if he would have fit the profile for the Texans, this current Texans team, just because of what we think of him. Like, of course, Kamari Lassiter fits the profile. Stingley is a remarkable player, so you take the talent. But if you were thinking about how these Texans were built, If D'Amico Ryans got here in 2022, I think the talent is enough where you look past some of the alleged concerns. But Stingley was injured and sat out. I don't know if he would have been at the top of, oh, that guy's a Texan, for what they're how they're built now. I'm not saying they pass on him because that would have been a giant mistake. What I'm saying is people would have used his pass, and like they did it during the draft process, to say,
yeah,
hey, we don't know if he exactly fits the swarm mentality. Of course, he's fit right in. He's been a great player. And by the way, he's battled through injuries really since week one.
What if they say we still are looking at cornerback, but Sauce Gardner is also available?
They may have taken Sauce.
They might have
taken Sauce if they were both available.
Or they take Kayvon Thibodeau. They love an edge rusher.
True. They got their guy the next year. Yeah. It all worked out, and we're all thankful for it to have two of the top corners in the league. And, of course, you have Will Anderson. I just wonder about the timing. If they had said that D'Amico Ryans was ready in 2022 instead of going with Lovie Smith after they were looking at McCown.
Yeah.
I wonder how it all plays out.
And with Lovie, like the idea behind Stingley's disappointing or relatively disappointing first year was that Lovie was having him play Tampa 2, and that's not what you do when you have a Derek Stingley on your team.
Lovie's system since Chicago, yeah.
And so there was a little – and actually, now that I talk it out, Lovie probably didn't get a big voice in the room on who they're going to draft, I imagine.
It's likely.
So I was just going to say that they did end up picking a corner that was ill-fitting for the system that they're running at the time. However, it was likely that Nick Caserio knew that they weren't going to run that system for very long.
And a correction, because a lot of it was all of the LSU stuff. He didn't sit out 2021 at LSU. He just missed a lot of time. He only played three games.
Broke his foot or something.
Yeah. Right? He played seven games the year before in 2020, but that was a COVID year, so the schedules were all messed up. He only played the three games his junior year. Jamar Chase, I believe, is the one who said, nah, I'm good. I'm not Jamar playing. I got those two mixed up, being the two stars at LSU. So, yeah, the injuries, but, you know, the talent is a talent. They got him. They're happy to have him. We're happy to watch him play. And as I said, he has toughed it out this year. We remember week one, he gets hurt. You know, he hasn't been, at least ranking-wise, PFF ran the numbers where he isn't as highly ranked as you think. There have been some plays where he's gotten beat, but I attribute that to just what he's been dealing with all year. And he stayed off the injury report as much as he could, and he's been able to fight through it, which was certainly a concern years ago. Now we don't have those concerns. The dude wants to play, and he plays well. And they got two big-timers on the outside, just the secondary as a whole. They've had to deal with injury concerns but with Jalen Petrie and his versatility, and, of course, you got the ball hawk and Bullock. And we've talked about it. Nick Caserio can identify DBs. We're still waiting on whatever magic he has for DBs to filter over to the O-line.
Again, he knows Dante Scarnecchia. Just give him a call just to be like, hey, do you like this guy? Not even do you coach him. Could you work with him?
Yeah, I don't know if he's leaning on anyone, but
he should start.
But if he's not, find someone.
Good, call up Mark Schlereth while he's here.
Well, just talk to Stink.
Just anyone. Anyone that's ever put their hand in the dirt, talk to him.
Just ask them and see what they have to say.
Yeah.
Everyone has blind spots. I guess you can't be great unless at every position unless your name is Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
I guess. But I don't even need you to be elite like you are when it's picking DBs.
You just be like normal.
Yeah, be normal. Hit on a couple.
Just bet 50% like everyone else. Like, it's just such a crapshoot where it's just 50-50. Like, does a guy work out or not? Or not does a guy work out or not. Over a long sample size, is a team a good drafter or not? It's like, there'll be good drafts, there'll be bad drafts if you do it for long enough, where you just get really hot, you're really cold. He just has started cold. He hasn't had a hit yet. Maybe Ariante Ursary.
Maybe.
Just TBD.
That's the next hope. Look, Blake Fisher's carved out a role as the sixth offensive lineman.
Yep, just how they imagined when they drafted him.
Yes.
Being the sixth offensive lineman.
When they drafted him in the second round.
Or third tackle.
They thought to themselves, swing tackle, and really we're not even that comfortable with swing tackle. We just need him out there when we need six guys. He's not the third offensive lineman.
They blocking went, tight end.
They went through Cam Robinson. They had Titus Howard.
Yeah,
over there.
Had Titus Howard. So he's like fifth.
And now around tertiary, who's been there since the jump. And now Trent Brown.
Yeah. So he's behind four other people.
You were being kind when you call him the third tackle.
I just meant third on the field.
Currently.
He's the third.
He's a, yes, that's true.
He's the number three tackle on the field.
He's their
actually number four, because Titus Howard is playing guard.
He's their jumbo tight end is what he is.
He is. He's our Darnell Washington. They should throw him the ball. I'll just say this. This is a point against Nick Haley. I think any other OC at this point would have thrown the ball to Blake Fisher once.
Let me ask you something about that, what you just said. If you're Nick Haley and you are dodging arrows all year long with your basic play calls, with the ones that are typical offensive play calls that end in disaster, if you call a pass to Blake Fisher and it ends in, I was going to use words that don't apply to football. If it ends in disaster, I guess I'll use that word again. You looking for that smoke? You looking to come in on Thursday? And while we won't play the sound because we have that rule. From when CJ Stroud's talking about how our play calls aren't very short and it takes a little bit to get the play calls out and we're kind of late to the line of scrimmage, you have to deal with that. You want to throw in, hey, it was third and four from the Chiefs 15 and you try throwing the ball to Blake Fisher.
No,
you want that? You think he wants to deal with that?
Second goal from the two is what I'm like, hey, he never goes out in a route. He'll be open.
Stop it. They barely figured out that you can run Woody Marks to the outside.
That's why if I'm Nick Haley, I'm like, F it. I've been conservative this entire time and had a terrible offense.
I don't know that this is the case. I would imagine it isn't the case. If he doesn't want to do it because of the repercussions if it goes wrong, I would get it. No. Like, I got enough on my plate. People
go out swinging, man. Go out swinging.
The problem is he's going to go out.
Yeah, no matter what.
I don't know about no matter what. I just wouldn't add on to things for people to criticize me about.
No,
I don't know that Blake Fisher can
respect it.
I don't like
how predictable they are. And so just the idea of, like,
you say that now,
being not predictable.
I actually kind of believe that you would stay there if it went badly. There's a lot of people who say what you say. Hey, let's switch it up because
we did a show where we spent like 45 minutes being like, why don't they run like a toss play at the goal line? Why don't they run a bootleg at the goal line? Because all they would do was run dives.
Yes, but I don't think they're all that adept at handling that. I definitely don't think running Blake Fisher out there is going to go well.
I don't know.
And we don't know if he can catch.
I know. That is also true. I know a team that would throw touchdown passes to the linebacker back 20 years ago. You know, whatever. Who's working on that team, huh? Oh, Nick Caserio was. Maybe he walks down and he's like, hey.
So you want to throw passes to Azeez Ostrayer? Anything, right?
Literally.
What's Christian Harris up to? He barely plays, right? You want to run him out there and see if you can catch a pass like Vrabel did?
I think I'd trust Azeez the most to catch a ball.
I don't know. I don't think he has great
Maybe
hands.
Maybe EJ Speed?
I know he had the pick because of the deflection. Yeah. I don't think he has great hands. I'm not going with him. I would go with Christian Harris. I know he has a pick six in his back pocket.
Or you know, we try to get Will Anderson some love like they did 10 years ago, trying to get J.J. Watt some MVP buzz. Throw it to Will Anderson.
The legacy of the Wildcat, no matter what he did trying to catch fade passes, it will always be they lined him up in the backfield against Kansas City in a playoff game.
Yeah,
and it didn't work. Yeah,
that was bad. So, don't do that.
Yeah, let's not. You don't want Will Anderson taking direct snaps?
No, Wildcat. I'm good on Wildcat.
But having him line up wide.
Not wide. As a tight end.
Oh, an inline tight end?
Have Dalton Schultz on one side and then Titus Howard and Will Anderson on the other.
You know how little blocking will happen? They better throw a pass.
Yeah.
That better be the play because no one's going to believe either one of those guys is standing in the block.
And then British Brooks as your
Why are
fullback.
You asking for the least likely guys to make plays in that situation? That's a lot of guys on there that don't involve some of your wide receivers.
Catch them off guard. Catch them off guard.
Oh, it'll be a slant to Nico Collins. Okay. Better chance of working is what I'm saying. It might work. I'm not saying it's guaranteed because it's inside the five. So the Texans,
it hasn't worked.
The Texans don't do well
it
there.
It just hasn't.
But I'll take that bet over. And if I'm Nick Caley, I would say, I hear you, Sean, but I got bigger problems. I'm not adding another one to the mix.
I would say Ben Johnson would.
Well, Ben Johnson has that. Ben Johnson had a great offensive line in Detroit. He's got at least a better one than the Texans do. So I get Ben Johnson. And you know what Ben Johnson has? People believe in Cajones. Ben Johnson.
No, oh.
People believe in Ben Johnson. There's a currency there because there's evidence of success. I don't have that. I can't just do stuff like that.
I would say it would help. It would help you get on.
I'm telling you,
people would be on your side if you tried some things.
Nick Caley is one halfback pass away that ends in disaster from being done. He better just run plays that at least people can justify when they don't work. Just, he's one trick play away.
Pushes with
Dalton
with,
Schultz.
With that's Stover.
Stover. That's the creativity.
That's
there.
The limit to the creativity?
Yes. He doesn't have a lot of runway to make mistakes.
But it's not good. It would be one thing if the offense was like effective and very conservative. It's not effective. Just try to catch a defense off guard once.
COA, man.
How's that been working out? It hasn't been working out.
No, CYA, not COA. CYA. Cover your ass, Nick Caley. I get it, man. Don't listen to Sean. Because while Sean wouldn't criticize you, the morning show, on your ass. Jeremy and Joe, on your ass. Sean, he's all willy-nilly. Because you know what? Texans win, Texans lose. Take it or leave it.
You're going to score 14 points a game, no matter what, with your offense. Just do something.
That's maybe we run a toss to Woody Marks. That's what we do.
Maybe you can get to the mythical 21 points that this offense needs to be heard on the show again.
I don't trust Blake Fisher to block an edge rusher or a blitzing linebacker or a blitzing corner off the edge. I'm not running him out in a pattern.
What if he, you know, block and release? Be wide open.
Sure. Okay. They haven't done it yet. I don't see it happening.
I understand you
want creativity.
It took them 10 weeks to run a toss play at the goal line.
Have they run one since? Have they run the one and it worked? And have we
against
seen
the Niners?
And have we seen it since? Not to any effect. I don't remember scoring another touchdown on the outside.
No, they did I think CJ kind of checked to a wheel route.
How'd that work out?
Woody Marks. Oh, it scored a touchdown against KC.
That wasn't was that a wheel route or here? A release? Like he released that into the pattern.
Yeah.
And CJ avoided getting sacked and made the play. So, still not the three touchdowns, so we won't hear from CJ on getting to the line late or that play that he made. He did talk about that, but the rules are the rules. Rule number two. We'll wipe out the three touchdown rule if he pulls the Blake Fisher thing and scores a touchdown with it.
Thank you.
There's the caveat.
Thank you.
If they score a touchdown by throwing it to an offensive lineman, even if it's only the second touchdown and the last one they score in a game, we'll start to hear from the offensive players again.
Well, I mean, we'd have to hear from Blake Fisher about what it was like catching a touchdown pass.
That's very true. All right, we'll go to break. Sean has ideas. I don't imagine Nick Caley's going to adopt them. But, hey, no bad ideas unless
– I just don't coach scared. That's
you don't coach at all.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know how you'd react if you actually did have to coach. It's easy, as they would say. It's easy to do it from that booth. If you had to deal with the repercussions, maybe you'd be a little conservative too. Sean's running flex bone.
I don't want to be that conservative.
I'd
be more aggressive than Nick Caley is right now.
I think if you were in college, you might be risk averse if your job was on the line. Like, hey, can I get away with the I formation? College?
I'd run spread option at least.
I feel like you're one turnover in a red zone away from becoming Kirk Ferentz.
I'd show my quarterback some Haynes King tape, and I'd be like, let's rock and roll.
Well, CJ is definitely not leaning into being Haynes King.
Oh, no. CJ Stroud would not talk to me if I was his coach.
No.
He would treat me like, Tom Allen? Who was the Kevin Wilson?
Was it Kevin Wilson when he was there at Ohio
State? The Ohio
State
offensive coordinator that you just bypassed and only talked to Ryan Day.
Yeah, you'd definitely be in the Kevin Wilson camp. Be looking for a job after the year.
All right, thank God Brian Hartline's here to save my job.
Yeah, recruiting all them receivers. Now he'll try to do that at USF. All right, we'll go to break with that. The number is 713-780-3776. If you think the Texans are a Blake Fisher touchdown away from changing things, you and Sean are in agreement. I don't know how many other people agree with you, but we'll take your call on that or anything else when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We had a fun game last night. If you just like, well, some Schadenfreude, some, well, let's say a record number of penalties, at least over the last decade. The Bucs lose to the Falcons 29-28. The Falcons go for two two-point conversions in the last 9.5 minutes of the game. Don't get either and still win the game. It's part of that thing where, hey, you're down by 14. You know what you need to do if you don't or do get the initial two-point conversion once you score a touchdown to make it 20-20. Falcons didn't get any of those. They do get a pick of Baker Mayfield when they, or at least the Bucs, are driving to go up by two scores after it's 28-20. And Todd Bowles was none too thrilled. Pretty much blamed his team and not his coaches for screwing up. And he said, hey, we're not going to win if these guys don't get it together. It's there for them. They just aren't playing the way they should. And we talked about it earlier. They got Mike Evans back. At least we talked about it yesterday. Mike Evans back, Jalen McMillan back. Chris Godwin was out there. So the core receivers, and of course Abuka, the core receivers that they started the year with, or at least they wanted to start the year with, are all out there. And it looked good for three quarters, but they blew a 14-point lead. And I think it's their biggest blown lead since that game against the Colts on Monday night.
Oh, wow.
Long ago, at least in the fourth quarter. Yeah, the Peyton Manning Monday night game. Long ago. Yeah. That's how long it had been since the Bucs blew a lead like that. It was 28-14 with 10 minutes to go. Kyle Pitts, star of the night, had his three touchdowns.
Contract year.
Yeah. He's on the fifth-year option. He scored three touchdowns last night.
That's how you do it. He made himself so much money.
Except it's three touchdowns now. Last night, now it's four total. So he was very Kyle Pitts like up until last night.
But what all he had to do is flash the potential.
Who's gonna pay Kyle Pitts now?
Probably not like serious money, but someone's gonna
see the move, see what he still has left. And Kyle Pitts will say, I was catching passes from Desmond Ridder, man, and Wash Kirk Cousins and rookie Michael Penix. You can't hold me to that. He might have played a year with Matt Ryan too. Don't remember the timeline of when Matt Ryan left Atlanta, but either way. The Bucs blow a game they could not blow. And now they have a real shot at not making the playoffs in what is a soft division. Think about the last couple weeks for the Bucs. They have the Saints coming to town. Was that a home game? Yeah. They lost to the Saints at home.
Yeah.
Then they lose to the Falcons at home. You just think, even as things are not going the way you'd like for the Bucs, you know, you play Buffalo pretty tight, you lose that one on the road, but then you think to yourself, we're coming home. We got Tyler Shuck coming to town. We got Kirk Cousins coming to town. We're at least going to be 9-5. And sure, that Panthers thing is cute and all, but we may go into that game not needing to win it, knowing we're going to host a playoff game. Instead, you got to play guys in the last week. You can't even rest guys in the last week, which is a thought I didn't really take into account. But there was a real shot they could rest guys that final week of the season, knowing their playoff fate has been set.
Yeah.
And then bring whoever it is. It's going to be a team probably with a better record than them, whether it be from the NFC North or NFC West. But either way, you're going to have them at home. Instead,
I don't know if they Bryce make the Young, playoffs.
Bryce Young could take your soul.
Yeah.
That's nuts. So that happened. Mike Evans was good last night. Coming back from his injury, he looked really good. One of the more underrated, likely future Hall of Famers. He's still making plays, but it was a giant implosion. Fumbles, or their inability to recover fumbles. They had multiple chances to recover fumbles and didn't get it done. There was a big one relatively late in the game. It was 28-20. They were six bucks around the player, and they didn't get on the football.
You saw the screenshot? Where
yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
How did Atlanta recover this?
Yeah, the Falcon in question is face down in the dirt.
Yeah, like being pushed down. And it's Darnell Mooney,
yeah,
I think. So it's not exactly a big body.
And yet, they didn't get the football.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so a lot of things happened that didn't go the Bucs' way. I guess just the nature of the NFL. But as I said, that was a record-setting blown lead. And they did it to a team who was committing every penalty you could imagine. They lost to a team who committed 19 penalties in the game when they had a 14-point lead with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Tough look.
It's a terrible look.
And that's why Todd Bowles felt the way he did.
This is the angriest I've ever heard or seen.
And he wasn't screaming.
No.
Maybe seething is the word you should use.
Yeah.
He was very calm except for all the F words he used.
Like every other word was an F word.
Yeah. I get it, Todd Bowles.
Yeah, hey.
Tyler Shuck and Kirk Cousins beat you at home.
Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Like 4 days apart.
Yeah, he didn't even get a full week to get over the first one before he had to deal with the second one and a blown lead, too. And the other one, they gave up a game-winning drive to Tyler Shuck about 5 minutes ago. So it was a couple times where they had leads in the fourth quarter and let Kirk Cousins walk them down and then Tyler Shuck. Let's get some advice from you. How do we do this? We've got a special guest on hold. Do you just want to get to you want to show preference to the guy who always calls in or make him wait? I'm asking you.
This is hard. It's a hard choice.
Because you know the guy who's on hold wants a full segment. And he may just take the place of Michael Carroll.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you want to get to Eric and then tell the guy who's calling in, the special guest, to hold or call back?
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
All right, we'll do that. Hey, special guest, you want to take the place of Michael Carroll this week because he's not here? You can either hold through the call and the break or call back. But we'll get to you if you want to be on the show.
5 minutes.
Yeah, let's get to Eric here before we go to break. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Yeah, Bill, did you get to check out the new Supergirl trailer? I'm excited to see what Lobo does in the trailer. And also, did you check out the new Street Fighter trailer as well? It looks pretty good. And Sean, who do you got today, Indiana or Texas in volleyball? Listen.
Sean, you start. Indiana or Texas in volleyball?
Got to go with Texas, man.
Stick with the home team.
Yeah. I mean, Kentucky is the bugaboo, I would say, for this Texas team. Nebraska is also always a tough out. You know, when I was in college, it was always Nebraska was kind of the measuring stick. Kentucky, you know, now that they're in the SEC, you play them a lot more. So, yeah, not worried about Indiana. Coach Sig doesn't coach those girls.
Yeah, Cignetti isn't doing
if Cignetti
duty.
Was coaching them, I'd be scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like he's a great coach no matter what.
I imagine he can get that volleyball team up for Texas. As far as the Supergirl trailer, I did see it. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. It has Guardians vibes as far as the aesthetic of the trailer. We'll see how it plays out in the actual movie. I did not see the Street Fighter trailer. I saw a teaser. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, if that's the full thing we have right now.
I saw a still photo of 50 Cent.
Oh, I did see him in there. I didn't know that. I didn't know exactly if that was him because I didn't know the cast. But then I saw it as I was on my timeline on Twitter and I was scrolling. And then I saw the Street Fighter trailer. I didn't click on it to watch it, but it, of course, autoplay. And I did see someone who looked like 50 Cent. I didn't know if it was him or not. I saw Guile's hair. They just showed like the flat top. They didn't show anything else. So I did see that. We'll see. Mortal Kombat is either filming. No, the trailer for Mortal Kombat 2 has been out. So that movie is coming up here with it's Carl Urban. Keith Urban is the one who no longer is with Nicole Kidman. Carl Urban is the star of that one. It's Johnny Cage. We'll see. I mean, it's nostalgia for me, those two.
I was going to say, there's
franchises.
There's a chance that Mortal Kombat has just made other movies, so I'm more willing to give it a chance.
Well, Street Fighter has a bad movie, I think, from the 90s.
Yeah. And Mortal Kombat, we can argue about whether they have a good movie under their belt in the past. Because they had another, 90s, 2000s movie, and they had one that came out like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
That was perfectly fine.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is in the original Street Fighter movie.
Oh.
It wasn't good.
Okay. But I'm more willing to give, maybe it is just the Carl Urban of it all. I'm more willing to give Mortal Kombat. And I've invested in the characters, having seen Mortal Kombat 1. The Street Fighter thing? Eh.
Ming-Na? Or Ming-Na Wen, who's still the good actor. She played Chun-Li back in 94. Raul Julia. Gomez Adams played M. Bison. Imagine that.
I can't. Really. I'm just picturing Gomez Adams.
Wasn't good casting. I'll say that. Was not good casting. And Jean-Claude played Guile. But he kept the hat on, so he didn't have the hair.
Didn't commit.
No. Yeah. He had or beret, whatever you want to call that thing he was wearing in the movie. But this version of Guile, whoever's playing the role.
Oh, it's Cody Rhodes from the WWE.
Yeah, he's got the hair going.
Yeah.
Yeah. The platinum blonde hair. Don't know if it goes beyond that, if he embodies what Guile was as a character. Mm-hmm. We'll find out.
He disappears in the role.
Yeah. Or is it just Cody Rhodes with a bad haircut? We'll see.
Whatever. Kicking people in the chest.
Yeah. We'll see about that. Will the Sonic Boom sound right? You know what I would say? Don't have Cody Rhodes say Sonic Boom. Have the actual thing from the original video game be the sounder for
like,
that.
Like how they pipe it with the music biopics where they like pipe in like, here's Freddie Mercury actually singing and here's Rami Malek moving his lips.
Yeah, I would like that more
than
Cody Rhodes saying Sonic Boom and Hadouken and all that stuff. Let's just bring the original sounders back. All right. Raheel has told me, oh, by the way, that was a special guest. Raheel has said to tell, well, at least he told me to have you call him because he can't bear to wait through a break and call back. So, do you have his number?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Raheel, expect the call from
Unless Sean. He's changed it.
If only. If only he had. But he hasn't. We'll hear from Raheel Ramzanali when we come back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Now back to the Del Olalea Show from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
So Raheel is on hold. We'll get to him. Eric brought up Street Fighter and the teaser trailer for that video game adaptation. I'm not going to get too upset about it because I did mention that Raul Julia played M. Bison in the movie from 1994. But David Dastmalchian, Polka Dot Man from James Gunn's Suicide Squad, is playing M. Bison. Do they know what M. Bison looked like in the video game? And do we remember what Polka Dot Man looked like in Suicide Squad? What are we doing? How was that proper casting?
Didn't
put on like 30 weights? Pounds of muscle. No. Okay. Nope, doesn't appear to be the case. Bison was the big villain. And now, is he a joke to them? What's going on?
I like that this is the...
Like, I'm not even going to watch this movie. But now that the teaser's been brought to my attention, this is ridiculous. The main villain is going to be comedic relief. F out of here. Let's get to Raheel. What's up, Raheel?
What's up, guys? How are y'all? I'm curious, are they going to walk around like they do in the video games, like that choppy video game walk? Are they really going to go all in on this, or is this going to be how the 90s, you know, video game movies were?
Well, I saw the teaser during the break, and Ryu is in it, and he's not walking, but he's doing like the pose to get ready pose to fight. He's doing that in the trailer, so I'm not sure it'll go beyond that. But either way, this looks like a disaster.
It's going to be so bad. It's going to be wonderful. I can't wait to watch it. Like, just for the campy comedic relief and cringe factor, I'm in for that reason only.
Yeah, I don't know if you could make a serious Street Fighter considering the characters and what they have to do, but I don't know that people who like the game and the fighting aspect of it. We're going to like this. But whatever, Mortal Kombat, they've made several. We'll see if Street Fighter gets a sequel as well. But what did you call it about? What you want to discuss?
I've got three things for you. All right, we'll start in order. Number one, I put out this tweet saying that Fuddruckers is, you know, gone from the Houston area, but there's one in Webster. So you being the mayor of Webster, have you gone to the Fuddruckers there?
I don't live in Webster. I am not the mayor. I have been to a Fuddruckers before, but not the one that resides in Webster. I think it's like in a parking lot that's either the Home Depot parking lot or another, like, there's a bunch of superstores around it, and then there's a Fuddruckers just placed in the middle, I think is the location. It's not a great location for a restaurant. You barely know it's there, but I've not been to that one.
What are your thoughts on Fuddruckers overall? Because a lot of people hate it.
I've been there once. I don't really have thoughts. I remember I don't have thoughts or thoughts.
Okay.
It was fine the one time I was there. It was, you know, maybe some dressed up chilies from what I remember. I don't remember much about it. I think I might have had a burger. I didn't get sick. I was fine. It's fine. How can you hate Fuddruckers? What do they do that's so offensive that you would hate Fuddruckers?
I don't know. That's why I was confused. It's unlimited toppings, right? You have this cheese sauce thing that is just unbelievable. Like, why ever order a cheeseburger when you have unlimited cheese sauce for free? That was one of the best things about Fuddruckers. But I don't know. People were not like, you know, I would say it's like 90% like, oh, yeah, I miss Fuddruckers. But then there was some hate. I thought it would be 100% across the board. Yeah, I miss Fuddruckers, man. That was a great place because you could get a kid's meal. All right, here's a little cheat code. You get a kid's meal, and then you take the fries and you make a fries salad with it. You can put all the toppings you want, drench it in cheese. Bro,
see,
one of the best experiences.
Now I kind of get people and maybe their choice of non-liquid cheese. I'm not a fan of liquid cheese. I don't like I don't like the consistency of liquid cheese.
You're not a kid of the 90s.
I am. I just don't like the thought of pouring cheese all over my food. It's fine. I get it.
Nachos? You don't like nachos?
I think the number of times I've had like movie nachos or stadium nachos, less than 5 times. I will make nachos at home, but that's the shredded cheese. And of course, if it gets burned, it gets burned, but you have your toppings there. But as far as ordering nachos and the liquid cheese, like the pump that pushes out the liquid cheese, I'm out. Don't like it. I'm out on that.
Pump cheese.
Sean, this is embarrassing.
Yeah, the pump cheese is great.
No, I don't like the pump
cheese. I don't want to know how it's made. I don't know.
I don't want pump cheese.
How much of it is actual dairy? I don't know, but I like it.
How much of it is – I worked at, as John and Lance called it, the Carney place. And, of course, when you have kids and there's laser tag and mini golf, nachos are going to be part of the equation. And we could get discounts on the nachos because we worked there. Never tried them. I don't like – as you say, pump cheese.
To pay for the nachos.
And they're not giving them to us for free unless you know someone in the kitchen. They're hooking you up. That happened. But as far as how it's supposed to go, you get a discount on the food, but you don't get it for free. And I would never go pump cheese nachos.
Man, there's nothing like popping open the top of a Rico's melted cheese. I don't know what it is. It's not even cheese, but something. But man, that liquid cheese, come on. Oh, that was the best.
People say they don't want to see how the sausage is made. I saw where that cheese came from. It just came in a giant can that they
disappeared.
They got that giant can opener and then they put it in the pump or however they put the nachos on. Like I think at that place they had like a warmer. They would just open open the can, pour it in a warmer, and then when someone came to get nachos, the nachos wound up on your round tortilla chips and they kept it moving. Not for me. Everything came in a can there. Now he's got me triggered. Everything came in a can. The cheese came in a can. The jalapenos that you asked for in the nachos, they're in a can as well.
How else do you transport food?
Olives. Yeah, everything was in a can. Nothing was fresh.
No, hot dogs in a can.
Well, the hot dogs didn't come in a can. But the pizza was pre-made. You just threw it to warm it in an oven. But the pizza wasn't made. It wasn't. There's no dough being tossed.
Number two.
No, back to Fuddruckers, because I'm looking at the Chronicle article about one of the Fuddruckers closing. Even the headline, Houston's weird Fuddruckers is demolished to be replaced by a Whataburger. Now, this is a story from late May of this year, but They called it Houston's Weird Fuddruckers. So people
that one was pretty weird because that one was on Kirby or West Lane, one of those. West Lane, sorry, on 59, and that one was kind of weird. I went to the one in Stafford, which is right by Sugarland, and that one was legit. Like, it was a vintage feel, and there's always Elvis Presley playing, and he was all over. I don't know why. It was like a 50s diner kind of thing, and it was always awesome. But the West Lane one was kind of weird.
That was the one I went to the most as a kid.
Yeah. The West Lane one?
Yeah.
The weird one?
I'm pretty sure I had like a birthday party there, or someone had a birthday party there.
Dude, I would go there for my birthday all the time, throughout my teenage years. On just my birthday, my parents were like, where do you want to go? I'm going to Fuddruckers. Let's go.
No wonder he's called. That's he's indoctrinated by Fuddruckers.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Look, I can't complain. I was there once and the burger was great, or at least fine. I don't know exactly. What's next?
Diddy Doc. Man.
I watched it.
I started it. It's so well done. I just want, before we get into the Diddy side of things, Alex Stapleton, the director, fantastic Houstonian. I don't know if you know that or not, but she is great. If you enjoyed this doc, then on HBO Max, there's a documentary series called God Save Texas. And there's a bunch of, high-profile directors that did an episode on different things happening in Texas. But episode 2 is about the oil and, industry that happens here in Houston and how it impacts minorities and neighborhoods of color. And Alex Stapleton did that one. Dude, you have to watch. I recommend that to every Houstonian just so they can understand what our city really is, right? Especially on the east side. So watch that if you enjoyed this documentary. Same kind of like pacing, the tone, the sound bites. She is fantastic, like one of the best directors right now. Okay, to the doc. That was unbelievable. I lived through that stuff, and I learned so much. It was one of the best documentaries.
Yeah, so I watched it, and of course some stuff comes back to you, but I never dug really deep into Diddy's story. It started very early in terms of stuff around him happening, violence happening, or at least accidents happening. When we talked about that event he set up when he was young, and like 9 people dying as it wasn't properly, there was not a lot of security there. 9 people died. And of course, that was a tragic incident leading all the way to the very end. I've seen all 4 episodes, and 4 was the one where you're like, man, first of all, he talks in a way that I wouldn't be able to deal with. It's always almost, I talk to Sean about it, almost like he's talking in motivational quotes or sound bites. It's not for me. I don't know how people deal with it. And also, did you watch episode 4?
I'm like 10 minutes into episode 4 right now.
Have you gotten to the part when he's on the street meeting people? He goes, well, we talked about it. I won't reveal it for you, but it's another part where you're like, man, this guy, but beyond being calculating,
he's just pure evil, and two, I wish we could spend more time talking about his media voice versus a normal Sean John voice, P. Diddy voice.
The code switching.
It's so phony. It's so unbelievable. Anytime he's talking to anybody in the mainstream media, he just turns into this, well, look, I really miss Biggie. He was my everything. I can't stop
laughing. The opportunistic way he turned. Look, of course, the Faith Evans, the Missing You, the song, the moment that he had when he came out dancing and then sang Sting standing there with them all. Looking at him dance now as opposed to back then, see how ridiculous he looks dancing to that song about his good friend dying? But
who he made pay for the funeral.
Yeah, and you find out, I'm going to throw the biggest funeral. He's going to pay for it in death. He's going to pay for the funeral. I'm not paying for it. You find out his mom, Big's mom, she made an appearance in the doc. Did not, if you didn't know, she's not a big fan of Diddy. Even before this more recent stuff has happened, the Cassie stuff, we got into that. But episode 4, you haven't seen a lot of it. The producer that works with him on his latest album and how that all goes down, nuts. Nuts. It's just he's just another one of the guys or people who felt wronged and in this case, abuse and other things by Diddy. Episode 4 was just the culmination of what he had been since he was like 19 years old.
Why did Mace make an appearance at all in this? Because when I think of Diddy, I think of Biggie, obviously, right? Like Notorious B.I.G. That they're always going to be synonymous, bad yeah. boy. But then I think of Mace, and he had nothing. Like they didn't even mention his name once.
Yeah, I saw Mace in the video, in the doc, talking about, I don't know, either moving on from Diddy's label or something. But it was young Mace. It wasn't him now.
Yeah, not current.
It was Cameron. It was a old archival footage. I don't know. Maybe I can't explain why he wasn't. He was, of course, a prominent figure.
What is Mace thinking in all of this? Is Mace pro Diddy?
Maybe with his podcasts with Cameron will reveal. I don't know if he's talked about it with Cam on their show. I don't know. It's a good point that there was no Mace. There's a lot of guys from his past who have had bad experiences with him. Mark Curry, not the hang with Mr. Cooper guy, different Mark Curry, talked about his past. His guy who did all the work for him to set up Uptown Records where he started, and of course with the Bad Boy, he spoke. And then at the very end, I don't want to reveal it for you. There's a big reveal from that guy at the end that changes even how you can see him talking about Diddy, because he wasn't a big fan, of course. And then you hear at the very end that Diddy did something even worse to this guy beyond business.
Okay. I got to watch that. And then last thing on this, where's Ja Rule in all of this? I want to know what Ja Rule.
Well, we know what Dave Chappelle said. I don't want to hear from Ja Rule. I'm scared to death.
Where is Ja Rule?
Where's Ja? I don't know where Ja. Yes, we didn't hear a lot of current or like we heard from people in Diddy's past. We didn't hear Cassie, of course, didn't hear from her. Lawsuits, all that stuff. Probably reason why she didn't make an appearance, but it was a lot of people from his past, like his assistant played a part, but no one that you would like know offhand. Like you might know of Mark Curry if you were following hip hop back then, but like the most famous people that were attached to Diddy, you didn't see those people in the doc.
No, maybe they don't like Diddy and they're like, I don't want to be part of this unless I'm going to get paid. Okay, last thing, and then I know y'all got to go, and we got to get going. Rich Eisen show coming up at 12 p.m. Don't forget to listen to that. I got you. I heard you guys breaking down this Nick Haley stuff. Do you think it would be interesting if assistant coaches did a podcast and they started breaking down sports radio figures and their performance?
Just assistant coaches.
Yeah.
If we got the real, sure. If I wouldn't mind hearing, I don't like to insult Nick Haley because I think he's been in a tough spot, but there have been some issues. If they talked in an honest way, why not? But I don't know that those guys have that in them.
I'm talking like I just want them breaking down sports radio hosts in that Nick Haley jumps on and goes, okay, I'm getting criticized by Joe George who missed a break earlier this week. Oh, nice. Bad Take Boulevard. You did it again, Joe. Great stuff as the programming director. Like, he just takes that same tone that sports radio hosts take on assistant coaches. Wouldn't that be great? Great work, Renato. Clears your throat while interviewing a guest.
Nick Haley.
Fantastic work. Like, I want that kind of heat.
Nick Haley don't have to do that. I do that to John. So there's already someone doing that. Nick Haley better find a different avenue. Get off my corner, Nick Haley. That's what I do.
I need him to do that.
Fine.
I need these guys to start fighting back a little bit.
Everything they do is
criticized, and yet we're in an industry that should be criticized as well. We're public facing. I'm getting tired of it.
Sean, what you don't know is Raheel has become a giant Texans homer. Like, he's always been a fan, but he and some of how I assess him is through the lens of him being phony. But I think this might be sincere. Like he was on the air and took issue with, he didn't name names, but look, he was on air with us, so it could have been certainly the station or others. Their criticism of the Texans and kind of tamping down on what was happening in our group chat. Very excited about the team. He is in. I asked people yesterday, were they excited about the game against the Cardinals? You know who was excited? Raheel.
Wow.
Raheel's excited about this team.
I wanted to go, but I'm working. I've got a Fury broadcast, so it's going to be hard for me to get there because dude, we have 20 plus fights. We're starting at 12:45.
Tell people.
And I'm not going to get done till like 8 o'clock. This is going to be ridiculous.
Tell people where they can watch.
Or you can watch on Fury Fighting Championship. The prelims you can watch starting at 12:45. And then the main card is on UFC Fight Pass. Global broadcast, 4:30 p.m. Three title fights going down at Fury FC. Or you can buy tickets. Come to furyfights.tv, buy your tickets, and come to the Imagine venues right there on the north side. Fantastic. The best MMA venue. I'm telling you, it's a Latin nightclub the night before, and then the best MMA venue you can get in the regional scene. It's great. So come watch it. Three title fights. But, yeah, I wish I could go to the game. I wanted to go, and I'm going to try to make it to one of the last two home games. Just waiting on some tickets from our friend who works at the Texans.
Got it.
But, yeah, I'm all in. I'm all in on this. And I've been telling y'all, like, look, I know it's a bad start to the season, but look at them now. The defense is fantastic. This is something we should be celebrating and not attacking Nick Haley. He's trying his hardest.
Before we go, because we got to go, as he mentioned, you mentioned how they have to change it from one thing to the other. Do you guys, like, do the time-lapse thing? Like when an NBA / hockey arena goes from hockey to the NBA. Do you guys do that from Latin nightclub to UFC venue MMA venue?
They have done it before where they show. I don't think they've done it at the Imagine venues, but we've done it. You know, cause we are lucky that we get to do, when we go to San Antonio, we do the Boeing Techport Arena. That's where, like, that's one of their bigger places, and we've done like smaller arenas as well. But they've done that, but not at the Imagine venues, because I think that one, it's a pretty easy setup, right? Like, literally, the people leave, we set up our cage, and then we're good. The other ones are a little bit, you know, cooler to look at in the grand scheme of things. So, but here's in San Antonio once, it's a similar situation.
Speaking of guys missing breaks, Nick Haley would rip you to shreds.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Rich Eisen. We got to go. Yeah. Never mind. I'll save this story for next week.
Yeah, you can call in whenever you want next week. Nick Haley would have issues with you. Guest overstays is welcome. Yeah. Let's break it down.
They want
to
get at me for clock management.
Yeah, looking for Hill and Dell.
Terrible clock management.
Never
talk,
no timeouts. Raheel Ramzanali, you heard him. One of the preeminent UFC commentators or MMA commentators in the city. We're done for the day. Rich Eisen is up next. He'll start a little bit later. Well, welcome to my world, Rich Eisen. I'm always starting later than I should. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean, Sean?
What's up, Trevor?
What's up, Trevor? Trevor, leading the AFC South. We're done. We'll talk to you next week.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.